Stay tuned for Bob Beniart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Beniart with our Denver Bible Church update, and Doug McBurney's in the studio.
Good evening.
How are you, Doug?
Good. I've got some Bible verses I wanted to ask you about.
All right, there you are. There's your mic.
Yeah.
Some Bible verses.
Some Bible verses.
All right,
go
ahead.
This is the Denver Bible Church update.
Yeah.
Rereading the Gospels this week, like millions and millions and millions of people.
Because of the Passion movie.
Yeah, people who aren't even Christians are rereading the script. The scriptures, and in particular, the Gospels.
Yeah.
And Matthew,
even Chris Matthews from Hardball.
Get out.
Yeah, he said he reread the Passion accounts in the Gospels.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and he's going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, yeah, he's going straight to hell, but now at least he will have been informed.
So what verse do you have there?
Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, and this is Jesus speaking. It's in red.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. It's right after the Lord's Prayer.
Right. In fact, it immediately follows the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, I know these. Go ahead. All right.
Okay.
These are good. You picked
Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
All right. Now, there are some Christians, tens of millions, who have struggled with these because those who believe in salvation by grace, like Martin Luther taught and Baptists believe and I believe, that you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead.
Right.
You agree with that?
I agree with that.
Yeah. Paul said that if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's the gospel of grace.
It's that simple.
So do you have to do good works to be saved?
Well, from what Paul says, it appears no.
No.
But.
But by the gospel of grace, you don't have to do good works. Do you have to forgive other people in order for God to forgive you? That's like doing good works.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing you could do for other people.
Right, right.
And that is consistent with the law of Moses.
Right.
The law that God gave on Mount Sinai. So the question is, in the Bible, when the Bible has the covenant of law and the covenant of grace, which is that? Is it law or is it grace?
Well, if it's Jesus preaching and speaking, it must be grace.
That's what a lot of Christians think, but they're confused because Jesus came preaching to Israel.
Oh, yeah.
And he specifically avoided talking to Gentiles. He was circumcised on the eighth day.
That's true.
Little baby Jesus, according to the law we read in the Bible.
Right.
And he went to Israel. He avoided the Gentiles. He sent the 12 out to go preach the gospel. He said, only to the Jews, do not go to the Gentiles.
Oh, yeah.
That's while he was still alive.
That's right.
And he told his followers, he taught them to keep the law, the greatest and the least aspects of the law.
Hmm.
So the whole law, circumcision, the Sabbath, the ceremonial law, they kept the law. And so Jesus was teaching the Mosaic law.
Right.
And it was in the book of Acts, when Israel rejected their risen Savior, their Messiah, that God cut off Israel and grafted in the Gentiles in the body of Christ, where today we are under the covenant of grace, not the covenant of circumcision in the law. We don't have to circumcise any longer.
Right.
We're under the covenant of grace.
Now, most Christians would agree at least with that, that we don't have to circumcise.
Right, but they're a little confused why.
Right.
Right? You had to circumcise, God said, otherwise you're cut off forever.
That's right.
From my covenant. And now, what's up? Well, we're no longer under the covenant of circumcision in the law. They go together, the works of the flesh, cutting off of the flesh. We're under the covenant of grace. And in the body of Christ, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, just if you believe in Jesus Christ, that's it.
That's right.
Whereas under the law, you had to convert to become a Jew. You became a proselyte Jew and you were circumcised. And that was all the law. And Jesus came teaching the law. You know, there are tens of millions of Christians who believe that.
Right.
But they're so murky in their understanding of their own church doctrine that they forget that the body of Christ started in the book of Acts, and that's when God gave us the gospel of grace.
Wow.
So Jesus taught law in the four gospels.
Well, this sure reads like the law.
Yeah. All right. Hey, where'd the time go?
Well, you can find out more at denverbiblechurch.org.
Now, stay tuned for Bob Beniart Live.
Service with the weak and a nod. You need a man.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm with him.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's Friday night. You're in town.
Yes.
We'll go to the phones in a moment, but let's do a couple news stories.
Well, I want to, first of all, the North Koreans, they're at it again. Listen to this story. And this is from, where is this from?
North Korea. Must be from Pyongyang.
Must be from Pyongyang. The Financial Times.
Okay. The Financial Times
is a respected newspaper.
Yeah.
North Korea's state-controlled media are well-known. I have to read it. I have to read it in the way these people write it.
Well,
it's so annoying.
The communist North Koreans.
You know them. Kim Jong-il, the dictator, the secret nuclear weapons. Those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, their dear leader, Kim Jong-il.
The bad guys, the axis of evil.
Yeah, the next. You might call them next.
Next.
We would hope.
All right.
But,
next.
Their dear leader.
They're next. I thought that was Yasser Arafat. Well, okay, they're next.
Let's call them for that, too.
The nexus of evil.
Anyway, bottom line is John Kerry, the presumptive Democratic candidate, according to the Financial Times, is getting good play in Pyongyang. Good play.
Now, that's funny.
Listen to this. In the past few weeks, speeches by the Massachusetts senator have been broadcast on Radio Pyongyang.
Come on. You're serious.
Radio Pyongyang.
That is funny. In other words, they like him, the communist dictator.
They like him pretty good.
They like John Kerry.
Yeah, and if they had video of him sitting on an anti-aircraft gun, they would be running it. would be running it.
So somebody should open up Terrorist for Kerry website.
Oh, now there's an idea. Terrorist for Kerry. Oh, no, all right, now type that up and let's make sure that's not taken.
All right.
Terrorist for Kerry. Now, would that be .com, .org? How would you, what do you think?
Why not .ala?
Terrorist for Kerry .Allah.
.ala. Yeah, that's good.
Dot Allah. I like that.
Terrorists.
Look, it's available. Terroristforcarry.com is available.
Yeah, that is available, but so is .ala. I don't know how you got to get that one.
Oh, well.
All right.
In North Korea, the North Korean government hopes that a democratic victory would herald a return to Bill Clinton's policy of engagement. Engagement with Pyongyang. Yeah. Hey, anyway,
speaking of terrorists, did you hear the report that in Madrid, now about 200 people have been killed, including a 7-month-old baby girl just died today, fighting for life. Mm. And the terrorists apparently used mobile phones to detonate the explosives.
Wow, that's pretty
They're coming up in the world.
That's sophisticated.
Right. They just figured out rather than blowing themselves up, they could actually use some type of a
remote control type device.
Yeah, they just figured that out.
Cell phone.
2004, it's about time that out.
Yeah, anyways.
Anyway, so we're in a war and we need to kill as many of the terrorists as we can.
Now, wait a minute.
In
Christian love.
Yeah.
And that begs the question,
what?
Do you get your 72 virgins if you use a remote control device? Or does
don't we have a mobile phone company called Virgin? Do we?
I think they do in England.
In England.
And eventually, Virgin's going to own everything in England.
Right.
They're going to own everything.
Because it's sort of like the thing that you hope for that you don't have anymore.
Right.
It's like society's so immoral.
They don't even know what virginity means anymore.
In England.
As far as they know, it's the telephone company, I think. They have no idea.
Okay. So anyway.
By the way, folks, the number to call if you want to participate in the program is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.
And, Doug, we've been getting mostly calls from all over the country.
Yeah, what's up with that?
How does that happen? We're a little Denver radio show.
It's a phantom signal that's carrying out over.
And we're going to be on daytime soon.
Yeah, I heard the
Wednesday.
Big announcement. I had a dream that you came to me and said, Doug, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have announced that on the air. I woke up in a cold sweat saying, oh, no, he's not going on in the daytime.
3:00.
But it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was just a dream, a bad dream.
Starting Wednesday, Bob Enyart Live will move in Denver to 3:00 p.m.
3:00 p.m. All right. Yeah.
And it'll be a half-hour show. We'll still put it on the web at kgov.com. But let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Derek, speak your mind.
Greetings, Bob and Doug from the Twin Cities.
Howdy.
Hey.
You know, being on at 3 now, it is kind of bittersweet. It's only a half hour now.
Yeah, I know. Our Denver audience should at least double.
Yes.
Perhaps triple.
Perhaps triple. And believe me, Derek, from day one, we're going to make sure that the audience is aware of the fact that this is a one-hour broadcast.
Oh.
And that we're going to have to work. It'll take a little work, but we'll get up to an hour and rather quickly, I think.
We'll have to. Whatever show follows us at 3:30, we'll have to give them their 30-day notice.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I guess that's something at least.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why I'm calling is if I may be a bit presumptuous to ask for a programming request when you go off to Turkey in March.
Yeah.
Well, I had a hoot listening to the Joe with James and Josh.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they?
Yeah, it would be great if at least Josh could host a show maybe once or twice when you're gone for 3 weeks.
Host a show.
Did you hear that? Josh
now,
gets
James,
top billing.
James is the dad.
James is the dad.
But James is an introvert. Josh is an extrovert.
That kid's out
of
control.
Josh,
I love that kid.
Gets top billing. Okay, now, Derek, this is a program note here.
Program note. We're
While
typing this in.
We're going to Turkey in May.
Right.
In May. I said
26.
March,
that's right. For
okay,
17 nights, the trip, $3,500 round trip out of Chicago. Anybody want to come along with us? It's going to be a Bible tour of Turkey. Okay, so, Derek, we've got that officially noted here that Josh would be a guest host.
Yes.
Guest host during the Turkey trip.
Yes, he reminds me of a little Doug.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's funny, Derek.
He even said the EU thing.
The EU. The European Union, the EU. Yeah.
Well, now, just to make it clear, now, obviously, we're all impressed with Josh, but I've got to just say congratulations to James Amy Craddock.
Yeah.
Mom, who've got just five of the best kids. They inspired me
Set
a goal for five.
That whole family, Derek, at Denver Bible Church. It's hard to say which family is the example for the others because they're all extraordinary.
Pretty good
but
group.
The Craddocks, they're just the neatest mom and dad, five kids. It's just the American dream right there.
Yeah, in fact, cool. When I heard the show, I was almost convinced to move to Denver to join your church.
All right, Josh, you're getting back on the air.
Well, in fact, it might happen. I'm kind of in a situation where I just graduated from school. I'm what you call one of those non-traditional students.
Yeah.
I'm older.
Does that mean you actually studied?
Yes, I went to a school to actually get into radio. Wherever, I guess.
No wonder.
But any radio position that opens, I'll
Derek,
be moving there.
Derek, we could tell your radio voice the second you said the second you said hello. Now my headphones keep going out.
Really? Well, mine are working fine.
You're
what's your problem is?
So everything is fine out there. We're still on the air. All right.
Derek's still there, right, Derek?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
All right.
Yeah, see that?
As you can tell, Derek, we could probably use your help around here.
As soon as Derek said hello, Doug and I looked at each other like, wow, that's a radio voice.
Yeah, this guy should be on the air.
And I was really, when hearing that show and the great family you have there, I was pretty convinced that maybe I should move to Denver.
Derek, you should. Hey, another media guy moved out here after he graduated. And he's now working at a major Denver station.
That's right.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
All right, in the subscription category, Doug, we have monthly subscriptions like our Bible study albums.
Yeah.
I'll give you a list of the Bible study albums. People could, for $34.95 a month, they get one a month. And like Genesis, we go all through Genesis.
Yeah.
Creation, the fall, the flood, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph.
Joseph, he's like my favorite guy.
Joseph, what a story that is. You know, just like Jesus, Joseph saved his people, bringing good out of evil.
Yeah.
The Exodus story, all the secular evidence for God versus Egypt's false gods, the plagues and all.
Yeah.
And that Deuteronomy is such an – that was Jesus' favorite book, Deuteronomy.
He quoted it an awful lot.
Yeah, more than any other.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, my cousin in – where does he live, New Jersey? My cousin, his faith is wavering.
Really?
And he was going to call in and ask about the Maccabees and why are these other books in the Catholic Bible but not in the Protestant Bible.
Uh-huh.
So that's just reminded me that Jesus never quoted from the Apocrypha.
No, that's right.
Never once.
And then later on when you get into Paul and he quotes some scripture, he doesn't mention any of those things.
No. So, I mean, none of the apocryphal books are quoted in the New Testament, which virtually every Old Testament book is.
That's right.
And they were just extraneous books that that the Egyptians had translated into Greek. Anyway, hey, so
hey, Bob,
check it out.
Bob, I'm driving to Albuquerque Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I've got a section of Romans to finish.
Oh, in our monthly Bible study albums?
Monthly Bible study albums.
Romans.
And just looking forward to 5-6 hours of nonstop
Bible study?
Nonstop Bible study while I'm on the road. It's going to be great.
Wow. So give us a call. All right, we're back. 1-800-836-9278. So let's see. Before we go to North Glen,
did we finish with Derek?
Hey, Derek?
Still here.
Derek, okay, so your request is noted.
Okay, that's great.
And I tell you, James and Josh probably are on one of these lines calling in right now to reserve their slot.
So just make sure both of them do not go to Turkey in May.
Okay, we'll tell them that.
Tell them they can't
go. Since they have 5 kids, 2 adults, it's about $4,000 each. Yeah.
I mean, James does pretty well, but
that'd be about $30,000. Probably they won't go. But,
okay,
hey, Derek, I was saying, you know, another Christian guy from the Midwest, he graduated with a degree in broadcasting skills.
Yeah.
And he moved out to help support Bob and Your Live and attend Denver Bible Church, and he landed a job almost immediately.
Yeah, like the day after he got here.
In one of the major broadcast stations in Colorado.
Right, and he's one of the few guys with a degree in communications who can actually communicate.
Yeah, right.
I mean, really
he must be a Christian.
And he's a Christian.
He's a Christian.
And he's been working there for years now.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so there's a precedent.
Yeah.
So Derek, hey, at least come and visit and check it out.
Oh yes, I plan on at least. I've been listening to you since you've been on a Lacey station when I lived in Hawaii.
Whoa, that's a long time.
A long time.
And how often have we talked to one another?
I went to one of your tree seminars when you went to Hawaii. I think maybe 97, 98, something
long,
like that.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And I got your plot, and it's wonderful. I've learned so much. I've also I got saved in a Calvary Chapel and
praise
and
the Lord.
Excuse me.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
that's
praise
great.
Praise the Lord.
Calvary
it's a great
Chapel.
Church, and it has gave me a great foundation. And now I feel that since Calvary Chapel has fed me on the pure milk of the Word, and now it's like your ministry gives like the meat.
Well, Derek, you might not want to say your last name on the air, but I want to look you up and see if we have you in our database. What's the first few letters of your last name?
B-L-A-C-K.
B as in boy?
Excuse me?
B as in boy?
B as in boy.
L-A.
L-A.
All right.
All right. Now, you hang in there while Bob scans you up on the...
Hey,
Derek, are they marrying off any homos there in Minneapolis yet?
I do not think so. We haven't had any state officials disobey the law yet, but I'm expecting it any moment.
All right. Hey, Derek, you live in Eagan?
Yes, I do.
Eagan,
we
Minnesota.
Know where you are.
Yes, that is the suburb of Minneapolis.
We know where you are. So, Derek, this would be thrilling for you to come out. We really want to meet you.
No, it would be great
person.
As well.
I mean, again, you came to the seminar, but
yeah,
that was a long time ago. Hey, was the tree seminar? The tree seminar, was it any good?
That was when I pretty much when I first got saved, and you were saying things that actually went over my head, and from what I've heard from the other responses, went over everyone else's head regarding the law versus grace.
Yeah.
And, And actually, it has taken me a while in my maturity, in my spiritual walk, to actually grasp what you were talking about.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. It's been a few years now. Hey, Derek, we're looking forward to meeting you again face to face.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
God bless you.
God bless you. And God bless you, Doug.
Hey, thanks. Thanks.
All right. Hey, thank you, Derek.
He does bless me every day.
Yeah.
He just pours out blessings on me.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
Awesome. So I got a note that you scribbled to yourself before we went on the air.
Yeah.
And before we get too bogged down with callers dialing 1-800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278, everyone here, wants to send out happy birthday greeting to Dale.
Dale,
the
retired
40 years,
Denver cop.
40 years at the Denver Police Department.
Wow.
So the Sharons, the NYARTs, the McBurneys, we all want to wish Dale a happy birthday. And, you know, we're
glad. Pops said happy birthday, Dale.
Pops gave a thumbs up. We're glad you survived, Dale. And not only that, you look pretty darn good.
That's right. Hey, he races, bicycle races all around the country.
He looks like he's in shape. I would not confront him at the airport. I've run into him at the airport.
Yeah. Well, now he's retired.
Well, I stopped and I said, hey, you want to search me? Go ahead. I'm cool, man.
All right. Let's go to North Glen, Colorado. Is this Daniel?
Danielle.
Okay, Danielle.
Hi, Bob and Doug. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Danielle. So glad that you called in from North Glen.
Oh, good. I'm going to miss you guys at night, but I'll still tune in during the day.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm lucky enough to be home and homeschool my kids, so I get to be home and listen to them.
All right, and now homeschool, generally you're through by 3 o'clock, right?
Oh, way before that.
All right.
That's the neat thing about homeschool.
Yeah.
I know. I've
been
scared,
Danielle,
because I'm
planning on doing
it. I
can just do it in the nighttime if I have things to do during the day or... You know, it's kind of, or on Saturdays or Sundays, it's just kind of whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Works out pretty well that way.
Yeah, that doesn't sound nearly as intimidating. You know, we're anticipating, we have a 2.5-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And she's already in school practically.
Yeah.
My wife is a slave driver when it comes to education and discipline.
Yeah, yeah.
She's great. But we've been a little nervous about it, and it's encouraging to hear that.
Doug, our whole family went to... where did we go? We went to Montana for a pro-life event.
Yep.
And Zachary, he's doing his homeschooling in the van while we're driving through Yellowstone.
Yep. Oh, cool.
You can do that.
So it's so flexible. It's so neat.
Really neat.
Yeah.
Plus, you keep them away from the public school. That's the best part.
Yeah.
So, Danielle, what's up?
All right. Well, my husband called you maybe, I think, a little while ago and talked about it. But I just wanted to get your opinion, even though I know what the truth is about it. But what should the churches... viewpoint be on common law marriage?
We're real down on common law marriage.
We call it shacking up.
Yeah.
Shacking up. And even in Colorado, you know, different states have different rules.
Uh-huh.
But I think how it goes, and I'm not an expert on this, but I think you have to be shacking up for some amount of time,
yeah.
Say a couple months or whatever the rules are.
To pay a couple phone bills together.
And then, you pay the phone bill together, get drunk together once or twice. Well, you don't have to get drunk together, but you got to shack up for a couple months, and then you could be common law married.
Right.
So the very law itself undermines marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way God did it, you get married before these witnesses, God and man, and the government recognizes you're married. The common law approach is the government says, hey, we expect you to treat your girlfriend like she's a tramp.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you guys just shack up for a while, and after a while, we'll say, okay, you're married.
Yeah.
That is so demeaning to women.
I agree.
And men don't care. Men just don't care.
Yeah.
They take what they can get.
Exactly.
But it's demeaning to women. And it's not God's way. It's a despicable way.
I agree.
And so Christians who happen to be common law married, they should recognize that it undermines the sanctity of marriage, and they should go ahead and get married appropriately.
Well, this is the situation. In our church, there's a couple, and they are not Christians. However, they are living, or they are common law married, living with the mother of the girl who happens to be a Christian. And according to our pastor, since Colorado is one of the few states that recognizes common law marriage, he says that we are to honor the law of the land and therefore recognizes their marriage.
Okay. Well, let me think through
a different standard.
Well, let me ask you this. Is your pastor saying that The church does not oppose common law marriages?
He says his views have changed. See, my husband and I used to live together before we were married, and then God convicted us, and we moved out and lived separately, and then got married.
Good.
All right. So we, you know, we're very, this is a personal to us, and we felt the need to confront the issue.
Right.
We've been pursuing it for a while.
Well, I'd love to be able to ask your pastor, then, if his views have changed, does he suggest to people, young people in the church, well, just go ahead and move in and shack up for a couple months and just get planned to go the common law route?
Yeah.
Because that's what he's teaching the young people in the church.
That's exactly right. Now, he just says that since they are not believers, there's a different standard.
Well, that's true. That's true. Even if they're not common law married, if they're just shacking up, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, that you should disfellowship believers who are living an immoral life. You should, in other words, he says, don't even eat with them.
Right.
To rebuke them in hopes that they'll repent. But he says, but if they're not believers, we expect unbelievers to be shacking up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. But should we still allow that in our church if they desire to repent?
Yeah, it depends. I wouldn't. You know, when unbelievers want to come to church, all right, you come to church and listen to the message. But if they're dealing drugs or they're a bad influence in the church, I'm not going to make them feel welcome indefinitely. You know, here's the message that you need to repent and stop living this immoral life. Because we don't want you to tear down the other families in our church.
Exactly.
Right, if you don't honor marriage, if you undermine the sanctity of marriage, that's a bad example for the whole church.
I agree.
So they need to.
It doesn't seem like it's going to help them get to know Jesus Christ if we're making exceptions and, you know, compromising the standards that God has for us in order to make them feel comfortable.
And, you know, Jesus and the Apostle Paul, he did these Bible studies that went on forever.
Oh, yeah.
People fall asleep.
Hours and hours.
One guy fell out of a window and killed himself.
Right.
You know, if there are no casualties, it ain't a Bible study. That's the way at Denver Bible Church we feel. But normally, unbelievers, I hope they're not too comfortable at the church.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
Well.
No, they should be a little nervous.
What is that? Like, these are our token hell.
Token heathens in the third row.
Yeah, right.
We don't really care if they go to hell, you know.
I mean, they shouldn't be too comfortable, I would think. But anyway, your pastor, it's tragic for him to say my views have changed. So I would ask him explicitly, then, is common law marriage, are you saying it's acceptable for the young people in the church? And hopefully he'll rethink his rash statement.
Okay.
Because then that means they just shack up.
Exactly.
That's what the law says.
Yeah.
Just shack up, and eventually you might be married.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate
the call.
All right,
so that opens up a line. Danielle is off the line. So give us a call, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART if you want to participate in the program.
Doug, the Passion is doing well.
Oh, yeah?
In all-time box office.
Yeah.
It's number 4 of R-rated movies.
Number 4 all-time for R-rated movies.
By this weekend, I bet you it's number 2.
Wow.
And maybe by the end of tonight, it's going to pass number 3, which is The Exorcist.
Oh, now that is poetic justice.
Is that a trip?
It's going to pass up The Exorcist.
The Passion of the Christ will pass up The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And you know what's number 1? It might pass that by Easter.
I don't know what number 1 is.
The Matrix.
Oh, The Matrix.
And you know the deal about The Matrix is it's so biblical in a perverse way.
Yeah.
But it's all the prophecies of the One.
Right, right.
And Trinity.
Yeah,
and
I remember hearing all that stuff.
It's so, you know, it's riddled with biblical allusions.
Right.
So The Passion of the Christ.
Jesus will defeat the devil. Will pass up The Exorcist
tonight.
And then in
March
the end,
12th, Friday night.
Praise the Lord.
More albums.
We talked about this.
It was Jesus' favorite book.
Yeah.
Went off on a tangent about the Apocrypha not being So, but anyway, other albums we have, Bible study albums, Ruth. You know, we're getting ready to release Ruth on MP3 CD-ROM.
The Book of Ruth.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And that's such a neat story. God's great love story.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
And now, was it her or was it Boaz who was in the line of Christ? I forget.
Well, Ruth, but Ruth married Boaz.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, both.
All right. See, I obviously need to go back and re-listen to that album.
Now, welcome to our Denver listeners on KLTT. This is a live commercial break. Doug and I are just talking on the internet at KGov,
yeah.
KGOV.com, about the Ruth Bible Study album.
Yeah.
And first Samuel, we've got two albums on Samuel. Eli and Saul is the one.
Right.
You know, that was Israel's monarchy being formed.
Yeah.
So fascinating. And then King David.
Now there's a story.
Yeah. And he was endeared to God by killing Goliath.
That's right. He killed the enemies of God.
He killed Goliath, and God just he really liked David.
I like this guy.
He's cool. He goes out there with a sling.
Yeah.
Facing this giant.
You got to love that.
God liked David.
Now go back to Ruth. Back to Ruth real quickly. It's the Book of Ruth that really shows how the Bible respects women. And how a man should treat a woman. And it really is an awesome story. A lot of people think the Bible's too patriarchal and that women are treated as property. But, you know, that's Christianity.
That's totally not true.
No, it's not biblical.
That's the pagan world.
Right.
Way back with the time of Moses, even before Ruth, they said, well, the sons in the family, there are no sons. Who gets the land? Mm. And God says, the daughters get the land. Who do you think gets the land?
That's right.
Chop liver? Doug, we're back from the commercial break. But yeah, Moses grew up in Egypt, in Pharaoh's household.
That's right, yeah.
So what does he know, right? The father dies.
Yeah.
And that was that during Moses or Joshua? Now I forget. But the father dies, and who's going to get the inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
And God says the daughters get the inheritance.
The daughters get the inheritance.
Yeah, so the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Bible, it taught the world to respect and honor women.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul says if you're married that you're to please your wife. That's what your life is about.
Yep.
Serving your wife, honoring your wife.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Now, speaking of the Bible.
Yeah.
And as we often do. I've got an email here from a listener. And he says, "Dear Bob, my wife and I are current subscribers to your monthly videos."
Yeah.
"Do the assets of those monies go toward your current pledge drive? If not, let me know, and I'll buy something else from the store. I'll go to KGov. I'll buy another media product."
Wow.
Let me know. So the bottom line, here's someone who's already committed to the ministry. He's subscribed
Isn't
to the monthly
nice?
Videos.
Well,
and he's offering to go buy something else.
Well, since he subscribes, that's our main push is to get $1,000 in monthly pledges or subscriptions.
That's right.
And we're up to $680.
Wow.
So he already subscribes. I'm not going to ask him to
subscribe. He's the backbone of the ministry.
Two times.
No, we wouldn't ask him to subscribe two times.
No.
But he might do something that many subscribers have done this past month and just call in and order something else.
Get
just
something and lend it to a friend, like our God in the Death Penalty video.
Yeah, get God in the Death Penalty and
that's a video.
Loan that to a liberal. He says, "Bob, thank you so much." He says, "Thank you so much. You probably have no idea how much your ministry means to me and my family.
Oh.
I certainly hope that we can help Bradley and Cheryl."
That's so nice.
Out of, we don't know where they are. Looks like they're on the eastern seaboard somewhere.
Hmm.
But isn't that encouraging?
That is.
He's already a subscriber. He wants to do more.
Yeah,
and
that's really nice.
Sign of a good ministry, when you're already giving and you want to give more.
Oh.
That's cool. And I have emotions like that wash over me from time to time.
Yeah.
When I just want to give more to the Christian ministry. And sometimes it's Bob Inyart Live. Sometimes it's the survivors who are out there on the streets. Sometimes it's Colorado Right to Life, you know. But that's the great thing about grace.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at K-Gov here.
Yeah.
Did you see in the gallery?
Yeah, I saw that right before we went on the air. So I heard you talk about it last night. I hadn't seen it.
The new, since you can't spank anymore, well, you could, but since it's politically incorrect, yeah. The new form of discipline.
I thought that was great.
Is that a funny one or what? People got to go to the web, K-Gov.
Go to KGOV.
We haven't told people what it is, but it's funny.
It is really good.
It's just a cracker.
So you go to KGov, check out the new parenting techniques, and you could call the program if you wanted.
Yeah.
We're at 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-8-NYART if you want to call and participate.
And we have a new feature on the website.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Other sites have it, but we never have. Bob's Writings.
Yeah.
And we only have two now. We're adding one every so often. The one we just added is on overpopulation, stop overpopulation.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is, why was Canaan cursed?
Why was Canaan cursed?
Noah cursed Canaan. Why? That is such an interesting little Bible study.
Man, what is that little portion of Genesis.
Yeah.
I just used to read that and say, you know.
That's weird.
That's just weird.
That's so weird.
Just weird. And then, you know what?
When Noah gets drunk, Ham sees him naked.
Something like that.
Grandkid gets cursed.
So I skipped over it for years.
It's just too weird. Skipped
right over it.
It's too weird.
But what a fantastic study that you do on that.
It makes so much sense.
Well, and then once you get through the study, the Bible is not weird anymore. At least that part.
Yeah,
there are still some parts that I'm a little confused about. But
what a neat story that is, why Canaan was cursed.
Yeah.
So check that out at kgov.com. Look on the right column, Bob's Writings.
Yeah.
Bob who? Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway,
what else?
Do you want to do some news? I've got some rather. What I do, folks, is I collect news through the week. And I try to monitor the broadcast as best I can. And then Friday I come in and I say, Bob, here are some stories that I heard this week that I would really like to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where to start, but I want to start with this headline. Gay city workers get boost in Seattle.
Good.
And I'm just thinking, just the headline alone makes
you
realize what a creepy age we're living in.
It's gross.
This is stuff that shouldn't even be mentioned in public,
right.
And they're putting together just distasteful headlines is all.
It's gross.
Anyway, the mayor of Seattle, who is Greg Nichols, he's issued an executive order requiring the city to recognize same-sex marriages by municipal employees.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work for the state and you're a homo and you get married, the state is now obliged to recognize you as
that
married.
City.
And you have to work for – if you're just two average homos out in
you're
Seattle.
You're not recognized.
The governor and the mayor's not going to – the mayor's not going to recognize you. But
it's all there. Your point this week was that – the homosexual activists have overplayed their hand.
Well, I hope. Yeah, I hope they have.
In that they're going to lose this battle on homosexual marriages.
Right.
They're going to lose that.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we talk about, will it be a backlash?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more of a scratch my backlash. Because it's just not, it's going to be the most gentle backlash you've ever seen in your life. Where by the time we're done, the conservative and Christian Republicans are going to make sure they're all able to have their nice civil unions and no one will discriminate. So, and they're going to be living in our housing, teaching our kiddies.
Now, you're saying that we may win the battle. We may defeat them on marriage. But in the end,
it's going to be worse.
We're going to end up more tolerant.
Yeah. By the time that we have outlawed homosexual marriage, homosexuality will be more respected in America and more entrenched than it is right now.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's my prediction. And the only way to make that not happen is that the conservative Christian leaders who are against homosexual marriage need to say, we're against homosexuality.
Yeah, and even the homosexuals.
Themselves. We're against them, too, because they're destructive. They're perverse. They're destroying themselves and our culture.
They're destroying themselves. Think about that, folks. It's not just a – this isn't just a homophobia for homophobia's sake.
Yeah, right.
They're destroying themselves. Their own lives are miserable. They die younger. They're miserable. They're drug addicts. They're alcoholics.
Yeah, and so that's what would need to happen, and I don't see from the Christian leadership in America, especially not the conservative leadership or the Christian political leadership, they're not going to say homosexuality is a sin, it's perverse, It's a filthy lifestyle. We need to get people out of the lifestyle.
I don't think.
You think Bush is going to start running campaign ads like that?
I don't think so. But you want to know what gets me upset about this whole homosexual marriage debate?
Yeah.
And there's an example of it here in this story out of King County, Seattle. King County Administrator Ron Sims, yeah, who's a black guy. Now, we got a few black folks who listen to the show.
Yeah.
Good friends of ours, right? Yeah. And this guy, he's a black guy. He explained he had to turn away some homos who came and wanted to get married. And he explained that while he supported homo couples' efforts to wed, he had no choice but to uphold the law. So he had to turn them away. But now he said that he feels bad that he had to turn them away. He remembered images from his childhood of white government officials in the South blocking blacks from entering buildings restricted to white people.
Mm.
Okay, so that now they're lumping in the homosexuals,
yeah,
with civil rights movement.
Right, which is a real insult. That's like saying we child molesters want to march next to Martin Luther King,
yeah,
Jr.
Yeah, right, right.
That's what not that all homos are child molesters, just
not all of them.
Enough of them are.
Yeah.
But it's disgusting. It's taking something that's a filthy perversion and saying we're just like black people.
Yeah. Right. And just me, and I'm as white as they come, but it's
racist.
Insulting to me.
It's racist.
Yeah,
to say that. Yeah.
It's insulting to me because I like black folks, and traditionally now black folks have been far less tolerant to homosexuality than the white community.
Traditionally.
Yeah, traditionally.
But now that the average black child is weaned on MTV,
oy,
right, mm-hmm, I think that's going to go the way of the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Because that's how, right? 70% of blacks or higher are born out of wedlock without a dad at home.
Yeah.
70%. And so I would assume that the average household there lets their kids watch MTV.
Well, who's going to watch the kids?
Right.
The VJs are watching the kids.
Yeah, right.
Do they have VJs anymore?
I don't know.
I haven't watched MTV in a while.
Yeah. But so anyway, that entire subculture is losing its moral foundation.
Hmm.
Black pastors won't even publicly condemn abortion, even though what percentage of blacks have been killed by abortion? 30% or so?
Wow.
Have been slaughtered in the last 30-some years. And they won't even do that because they don't want to because they're pro-choice, most of them.
Yeah, they are.
Pro-choice. They're pro-democratic, party.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just despicable what's happened to the black community.
Yeah.
And the white community, too. The whole
I just wanted to say that
whole world is going to hell.
It'll be a shame if the black folks follow the white folks into the abyss.
Right.
Because we've had white liberals destroying the country for years.
Yeah.
And anyways.
What's that? Terrorist for Kerry?
Dot ala.
Dot ala.
Dot ala.
Terrorist for Kerry.
All right. Now, here's another story. Out of California, Bob, that I wanted to ask your opinion on, there's been an amendment proposed to California's Constitution that would give 16- and 14-year-olds the right to vote.
Hmm.
Now,
Kids.
Kids. It's going to give kids the right to vote. We'll take a little break, give you some time to digest that one. And when we come back, we'll talk about it.
The Bible says, you know what your curse will be? Children will lead you. All right, we've been talking about this a live commercial break about our Bible study albums.
Yeah, now Bob, I want to give folks I want to pitch a little bit on the Romans album.
Yeah.
Because I listened to your Romans album, the first one on my last road trip, and there's a question that's always been thrown in my face by unbelievers who hate God and are looking for a reason not to seek God. And they say, what about the guy who's out in deepest, darkest Africa?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he grows up his whole life. He never heard of Jesus. He never heard of the Bible. He never heard of any of this.
They're always concerned about that guy.
Yeah.
They don't care that they're going to hell. But anyway, okay, they're concerned about that guy.
All right, but wait, I'm going to use that one. I'm going to use that line. That's very good.
Yeah.
But you give a study through which chapters in Romans? I'm thinking it's Romans 2. Yeah.
2.
That really talks about this idea of the unsolicited, the person who never hears the gospel.
It's awesome, isn't it?
What a phenomenal study. And now the next time some 50-something college professor throws that in my face, the first thing I'm going to do is ask him about his own self.
Yeah, right.
What about your own self? You heard of Jesus.
Doug, we were sitting in Starbucks a couple weeks ago, and who was there? And this guy, a Christian guy, walked in. I hadn't seen him in a year or so.
Yeah.
Recognized, neat Christian guy. And he comes up and he said, Bob, I started listening to your Romans Bible study album. And Romans chapter 2, it's so good about the unsolicited, the people who've never heard the gospel preached, never read a Bible.
Yeah.
And what does the Bible say about them? And it is so fascinating. But, you know, the vast majority of us Christians, we never get around to learning about stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, a lot of it is we don't have a lot of time. Since the government's taken half our stuff every 2 weeks.
Half our money.
Yeah, right. We have to spend an inordinate amount of time slaving just to try to pay the rent.
Right.
And so that's why I feel so blessed to have access to a guy like you who's taking the time to look into the Bible and to teach us what it says. Get the Romans album, folks. Go to KGOV.com or 1-800-8-NYARD. And we're back.
Yeah.
It's Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-836-9278. As we head into the waning moments of the program, if you want to call in, 800-836-9278. So, Bob, we just did a commercial for this Romans Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to return to this fairly just stupid, meaningless story about children
voting. In California.
In California. And I hate to bring us down to this level.
You mentioned that, and the first thought to me was that Bible verse that children will lead them.
I don't remember that verse.
It's a curse in Isaiah.
Oh, really?
And I just, here, I looked it up during the break. It's a bit of a paraphrase here.
Yeah.
But God is saying, this is how bad it's going to be, that in that day, let me see. Where did it go? There, here it is.
It's in Isaiah.
As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them.
Wow.
Those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths.
Hmm.
So, in other words, you know, Maggie Thatcher, she was a lot better than any other leader Europe's had in the last century.
Oh, definitely.
But still, she was a girl, and she was a bit liberal. But she was the best that England had.
She was the best they could do.
She was the best man for the job. Because they were a bunch of sissies over there.
Yeah,
but she was good. You know, she was the best that they had to offer. But there should be a man who could lead.
Yeah.
You need a man to lead.
That would be good. Now, listen to, I want some of the quotes, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, just one quote that I wanted to run by State Senator John Vasconcelos. It may be Vasconcelos.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, in Texas, they call it Amarillo. That's all.
Amarillo.
Okay. Anyway, Vasconcelos.
Yeah.
State Senator. He says, when talking about this idea of giving 14 and 16-year-olds the right to vote.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they do with the 15-year-olds. I may have to read
through
this. Well,
this is real insulting to 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, how dare you leave them out?
Yeah. This state senator says, quote, "When we gave the vote to those who didn't own property, then to women, then to persons of all..."
It was all downhill. I mean, if this guy's not... It's so stupid not to know, things have gotten worse, but go ahead.
I was just wondering, how far would I make it through that quote?
That guy is one moron.
Anyway, he says that this watering down of democracy...
Watering
or whatever
down.
You want... No, I said that. I'm sorry.
Oh, oh.
He says that this... what would you call that? Opening of this the franchise...
It's a progressive
thing. Progressive thing. He says that all this added to the richness of our democratic dialogue and our own nation's integrity and its model for the world.
Yeah. He calls it richness. God says it's a curse when women will rule you.
Right. And not that we don't like women. I love women.
Oh, women are, yeah.
I love women. But, you know, when it comes to leadership in the culture and in war.
And in families.
And in families.
And in the church.
And the church, yeah.
You know, if liberals, feminists, they hate the thought that the man is the head of the household.
Yeah, they're not big on that.
They don't like that.
They don't like
But you have to have the head of the household. Otherwise, what do you have?
Well, wait.
A committee?
Well, can't we just be equal partners and have two heads?
That's a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Anything with two heads.
It belongs in a jar of formaldehyde.
Yeah, it's a monster.
It doesn't belong leading a family.
It doesn't work. You need to – and the way God puts it in the Bible, that if the husband honors and respects and cares for the wife, she will want to follow his lead.
Right.
So if the husband has to say, I'm the head of the household – woman submit.
Yeah.
He's a failure of a husband already.
Yeah, he's a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the men should be the head of the household.
Yeah.
And if there's a man in the church, he should be the head of the leader of the church.
Right.
Now, some churches don't have a single man who's qualified to lead the church, and so they have a lady, a girl, lead the church.
Yeah.
That's sad. In some countries, like the Brits,
right,
the whole country, the you know, struggle for one guy for 10 years.
Yeah.
And at least Ronald Reagan had somebody wearing the pants across the Atlantic
right,
that he could, you know, work with a bit.
All right. Now, wait. I want to finish this story off, Bob. Students in California's public schools support the idea of giving the vote to the 14 and 16-year-olds.
I can't believe it.
And they say that it would give them a say in issues such as education funding and bring new voices to the California electorate.
Who would have thunk it? Imagine if all – I mean, they could begin to change the outcome of elections.
Yeah.
So first off, I think you'd find out pretty quickly that Fridays are automatically off.
That's right.
Three-day weekends,
yes,
from school.
Exactly.
And teachers – pay will probably double.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, you want to keep the teachers
happy. And lunch, school lunch will be free for everyone, as will class trips and senior trips to Europe.
Oh, yes. Backpacking through Belgium and all that. Right.
Yeah, it'll be part of, you know, what the taxpayers are required.
Yeah, and I've got a quote here from Robert Reynolds, a student at Berkeley High School.
Oh, brother, come on.
He says,
Berkeley High School?
Yeah.
They allow them to have a high school there? That's child abuse.
He says, if we could, like, vote, politicians would, like, see us as, like, votes, not just, like, kids. And they would take our issues, like, seriously.
That's
a direct quote.
He's you know, all like, she goes, dude, like, what?
And I was all.
She goes, y'all, like.
She was all.
You know, dude, like.
Yeah,
he's,
like.
He's y'all. She goes, like, what?
Like, hand me that hanging Chad. Anyways.
All right.
So anyway, now speaking of.
Yeah.
Speaking of the youth, we should go to the phones.
All right. Let's go to the phones in Westminster, Colorado. Josh?
Hey.
Is this Josh Craddock?
Yes, this it is.
Welcome to the show, Josh.
Oh, hey. Yeah. I was just calling about hosting the show.
Ah, I knew.
Josh, were you guys listening to the show tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hey, Josh, you've been requested by a listener in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Well, I don't deserve it, but.
You don't deserve it. You sure do.
You're worthy, Josh.
So would you do it? Would you fill in?
Yeah, sure. It sounds fun to me.
All right. Now, how about your dad?
Yeah.
He wasn't requested.
Well, he's interested.
Now, I don't know, Doug. I don't know if you listen to that show, but I did think Josh carried the show.
Josh did a pretty good job. I heard the first 15 minutes of the show.
But, you know, James is my dearest friend in the world.
You got to beat him over the head to get him to talk.
I try to get him to fill in for me to preach when I travel. And he doesn't want to talk to a bunch of people.
Yeah.
He's got better things to do.
Right.
So, hey, Josh, you're young. You don't have anything better to do. You'll do it?
Yeah. Sounds fun to me.
All right. We'll have you fill in.
All right.
We'll get with your agent as far as booking a date.
Yeah, booking a date. And then perhaps your dad could do it too, though, if he doesn't mind.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, we should tell the audience about the Plot Boys.
Ah, the Plot Boys.
Yeah,
what's the Plot Boys? Fill me in here.
Well, it's been our little Bible study with Bob every week. Well, we try and do it every week, but... Yeah, so we do that with Stephen Sutherland also.
The three of us.
Now, you guys are doing a Bible study through the manuscript, the plot?
We record it. It's a Bible study, an overview of the whole Bible.
Oh, yeah.
For kids.
All right.
And it's really simple. Right, Josh? We keep it only to the simplest things like David slew Goliath?
Not exactly.
Really?
No,
so
it's
for, a little bit more involved than David and Goliath.
It's totally sophisticated.
All right. Yeah.
It's as sophisticated as any adult Bible study I've ever been to, but it shows that kids are able to understand the Bible at a really a serious level, deep understanding.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not – kids don't have to have kids' curriculum. We just do serious Bible study for kids.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Josh, thanks. We'll have you fill in, all right?
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. So
you'll have
Josh
to send
is,
us an invoice.
He's booked.
Yeah.
He is booked, and well, that'll be exciting.
All right. And Stephen Sutherland, he could do a show, too.
We could bring him in.
Yeah, he can do it.
Yeah. He's a smart kid. You know, those kids, sometimes they use words at church, and the adults, they just nod, and then later on, they're running for the dictionaries. Like,
the
what
adults
was that kid
are
talking about.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah,
man.
The kids at Denver Bible Church.
Pretty smart kids.
They're extraordinary.
Yeah, we got a good group. All right, Bob, I got a couple stories here.
In fact, one of the kids at Denver Bible Church told me I use the word extraordinary too often. So I said, good point, kid. All right, so what's
said,
your...
Bob, mix in a thesaurus, why don't you?
Yeah, right.
All right,
go
now,
ahead, go ahead.
We're coming to the waning moments of the broadcast.
Yeah.
And I got a couple stories. I'm not sure which to start with. Let's start with the really gross one first.
Yeah, yeah.
From Amsterdam. Whenever you see a dateline from Amsterdam.
It's gross. It's always gross.
But this is an encouraging development in Amsterdam. Two Dutch political parties called this past Wednesday, for laws prohibiting bestiality.
See
they
that?
They want to make bestiality illegal.
They're really moving to the right over there in Amsterdam.
Right.
Right. They tried like heroin free for all in the city parks.
Yeah, right. That's
and they carried so many dead bodies out of the parks every weekend that they said maybe we should rethink this.
Yeah. And now this the reason the politicos over there in Amsterdam are talking about this is because of a rather public case in which a man was publicly caught, and pretty much everybody knew what was going on. All right? He was caught by anyway, I can't get into the details, obviously. But the man who was caught was set free by prosecutors because there was no evidence of a crime because Dutch law does not specifically prohibit bestiality. So they couldn't charge him.
So that, you know, there's disease concerns and mixing the human blood supply with animal blood supply.
Exactly.
And there's evidence, you could read in the technical journals about concern about syphilis, gonorrhea, and AIDS jumping into the human blood supply from the animal world, from sheep, dogs, and chimps.
And just a warning, you know, now that Western civilization in America has allowed heterosexuality to be flaunted publicly, no respect for heterosexuality anymore to keep it private. Now the homos are out of the closet. Watch out.
Watch out.
Because what's next?
That's right. Next is Lakewood, Colorado. Sorry, my bad
That was
segue.
A bad segue. But...
Mike, speak your mind. Hello, Mike. Well, we can't hear Mike. Can we bring him? Let's see. I'll pull him back up here. Mike's got a question on the Bible. Mike, you there? No, we can't hear him.
We've lost Mike. Earth to Mike. Anyway, that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, Mike?
That's all right. Bob's trying to get the phone.
Mike's on the phone. Mike, you ask the question quick, and I'll relay it to the audience.
All right. So
while
Bob is interpreting the question, I'll let you know that both parties in Amsterdam, both the socialists and the ruling party, have called for an amendment to the penal code to make bestiality punishable by,
Mike's question is, when the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you, what does that mean? And I don't think it's saying we have some kind of supernatural power over the devil. But how many devils are there? How many? Lucifer. How many?
There's one.
There's one devil.
Yep.
And there's a lot of us.
There's a lot of us. Yeah.
So if you don't respond to his temptations, he's got a lot of things to do.
That's right.
He's not going to hang around and waste his resources on somebody where he's getting nowhere with.
Yeah.
So the more you give in to temptation, the more temptation will come to you. Mike, you there? Okay, Mike. So does that make sense?